Welcome to Nick's podcast, The Insanity of God. We pray that God will bless you in what you're about to hear. They put three Baptist pastors in prison in the former Soviet Union. And they put one family, they gave them 1 hour to go to the house, get a small bag for each one of them, put them on a train 18 hours out into the frozen tundra to put them in a house so they could disappear without anybody knowing anything. And they put the husband in prison, the wife with four kids are on the train literally to nowhere in the middle of the night. And the kids are crying, saying, "Mama, what are we going to do?" And Mama has to testify, "Kids, God has to provide. We have to trust God." And a man walks up to them on the train in the middle of the night and said, "Are you pastors so and so's family?" And she says, "Why, yes, we are." He says, "While the church was praying last night, the Holy Spirit said, take up an offering and get on the train and give it to pastor's family. They're suffering." He said, "Here's enough money for 6 months. When this runs out, we'll be back." They took another family and put them out in the frozen tundra in a one-room house. They've eaten their last crust of bread. They've drank their last sip of tea. And your kids are hungry and say, "Mama, Mama, we're hungry. Daddy's in prison. We don't even know if he's alive. What are we going to do?" And mother has to testify. That's the real story. We've got to trust God. God will provide. And your kids go to bed hungry. 30 kilometers away, God wakes up an elder of the church and says, "Get up. Hitch your horse. Put the harness on the horse and hitch the horse to the sled and put the fruits and vegetables and meats that the church has gathered and you take it to pastor's family over here because they're in danger of starving." And the elder told me, I said to God, "I can't do this." I said, "God, it's 30 degrees below zero. You know, like God doesn't know that outside. The horse is going to freeze and I'll freeze." And the Holy Spirit said, "No, you've got to go. Pastor family needs this stuff." And he says, "God, you don't understand. There's wolves everywhere. The wolves are going to eat the horse and they're going to eat me." And the deacon looked at me and said, the Holy Spirit said, "Son, you don't have to come back. You just have to go." So he hitched his horse to the sled and loaded the offerings of the church. And can you imagine the fear the next morning when there's this beating of the door and the family is huddled and hungry and cold, wondering who that is and what's next, and open the door. And there stands the man of God saying, "The Holy Spirit has brought you this food. When this runs out, I'll be back." They put a Chinese pastor in prison for 17 years. Seven children in a one-room house under house arrest with his wife for 17 years. Sometimes I think I would have rather been in jail than with seven kids in a one-room house. And she could only go to the market to shop, but she has no money. And she learned to put a big smock over her dress and walk in the crowded outdoor Chinese market. And she would just brush up to women here and there as she walked through the market. And when she came out of the market, there would be beets in this pocket and potatoes in this pocket and some money in this pocket and onion or tomato here. And when they were hungry, they would wake up and there would be a chicken tied on the front porch of the apartment. And when the son got a job in another city, but no way to get there, the next day there's a bicycle tied to the front porch of the apartment. You know what believers in persecution taught me? Is that when church really breaks out, no one ever has to tell anyone else to take care of the family of God. That's just what the body of Christ does. And I had to go to persecution to find that, because I've never had that in the West. I've never had it where they literally brought all things common. And what is mine is yours, and what is yours is ours. And when church breaks out, you don't have to tell someone else to take care of a brother or sister in Christ. I looked at these people in Asia and the Soviet Union, and I said, where did you learn to live like this? Where did you learn to die like this? Wow, that's a Holy Spirit question, isn't it? And they would tell me these stories that I have related to you. And what I learned from them, they learned to live and die. They said, "This I learned this from my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my father, and now it's passed to me. I learned it from my great-grandmother, my grandmother, my mother, and now it's passed to me." That we have a genealogy, if you will, of faith that has been passed on from generation to generation that teaches us this is how you live and this is how you die in Jesus. And that's our challenge today. Because in many places, especially in Muslim countries, it's your mother and father who will beat you. Or it's your grandparents that will marry you off to a Muslim man if you become a believer. It's your family and your extended family that will take you to the authorities and put you in jail, and you lose your inheritance. And they have no genealogy of faith. And that's why Jesus have made us to stand in the gap. To stand there and to do two things very quickly. As quickly as possible, in oral forms, literate forms, you give them the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. This is how followers of Jesus live and die. And then secondly, you say to them, you want to know how a follower of Jesus lives and dies? Watch my life. Watch me. See, I used to think the Apostle Paul was arrogant when he said, be imitators of me. They had nobody else to imitate. And that's why Jesus sends us to the nations, is to stand in the gap and build for them a biblical and spiritual genealogy of faith until they have multiple generations that they can pass that down. That is the Islamic challenge today.
Thanks for listening. If you want to know more about our ministry, just go to nickripkin.com.